It is our joy to be able to present this weekly program from Words of Life. Today, you will again hear the words of Brother David Johnson, the minister of the Sellersburg, Indiana Church of Christ. Our recording studio and office are located in the Hamburg Church of Christ, also in Sellersburg. We are thankful for their support of this radio effort. Brother George Hayes skillfully manages our office and engineers our broadcast. We are supported by the prayers and contributions of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who follow you and serve you. Each week, we present a cappella singing, prayer, and a gospel sermon. We pray that God will bless you as you listen. Please pray with me. Lord, we humble ourselves before you in prayer, thanking you for all of your blessings that are ours. You have given us the great promise of salvation through Jesus. Please use the words of this program to glorify your name and accomplish your will. Some of our listeners are troubled with serious health problems, while others are discouraged by difficulties of this life. We seek your healing and your peace for each of them. Teaching throughout the Bible shows that it is your plan for Jesus to return, We ask that you will help us to be ready for this great event as we wait for Him. Thank you for hearing us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Father, hear the prayer we offer. Nor for ease that prayer shall be, but for strength that we may ever by still waters would we idly quiet stay, but would smite the living fountains from the rocks along our way. Be our strength in hours of weakness, in our wanderings be our guide. Through endeavor, failure, or dreary storm or sunshine be our share. May our souls in hope unweary make thy work our ceaseless prayer.
Brother David Johnson will now share an important message.
It's wonderful to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Praying to God for Me. And the text is taken from the New Testament, the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 30 through 33. Please listen to the Word of God. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy, and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen and amen. Intercessory prayer, that is, interceding on behalf of others, and petitionary prayer is so, so very important. This prayer practice really hits home when we or a loved one really needs prayer due to either spiritual, physical, or other serious issues. As Christians, it's a privilege and vitally important to represent others' needs to God. For example, recently I know of a 5-month-old facing serious surgery that had believers interceding to God literally from around the globe on his behalf. Afterwards, the surgeon indicated that he was cautiously optimistic regarding the success of the surgery on this little one. More intercessory prayer is still needed for this one and so, so many others on our lengthy prayer lists and on our hearts. We should never forget that prayer is a mighty instrument. Not for getting our will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. Over the years, I've heard people comment that they don't know how to pray. The answer to that obstacle is rather simple. Just talk to God from your heart. Release what you are thinking and feeling on the inside. Connect, communicate with God as a person, the person of the universe, who alone can do all things. Always according to His will and His timing, and for the believer's ultimate good, and even to impact the unbeliever according to his or her need. Some also think that asking, interceding for others in prayer, can be exhausted. That is, that God will only answer a certain quantity or number of our intercessions, that we can use it up. John Newton, the author of the great hymn Amazing Grace, answers this concern rather nicely. Quote, "Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." End quote. Very true words, of course. Let's consider together an interesting passage of Scripture regarding intercessory prayer and make personal application to our own prayer lives. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. "I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me." Here we have Paul urging the Roman church, the church that met at Rome, to intercede in prayer for him. Paul exhorted the church to join him in his struggle through intercessory prayer for his proclamation of the gospel and for his protection in his ministry as a missionary to many peoples and places. We today, by extension and personal application, can also join with our missionaries in the 21st century and in their struggles to proclaim the gospel and for their ministry protection in often many dangerous places with dangerous people. We have brethren that are traveling all the time to nations across the seas, to Africa, to Asia, to Europe, and we can join them in their missionary effort through fervent, faithful intercessory prayer on their behalf. Note also in Romans chapter 15 and verse 30 that Paul includes every person of the Godhead. Notice, by praying to God, meaning the Father, by our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, and by the love of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. Paul, in spite of being an appointed apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, still urged fellow Christians to intercede for him in prayer. Surely, as he knew he needed intercessory prayer, how much more do we need? For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul wrote, "As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." And that can include us today in the 21st century, wherever we are, whoever we are in the family of God. We should all desire to consistently be part of the many who intercede for one another as one great benefit as believers to come boldly into the throne room of God with our petitions. Then Paul writes to the church more specifically as to what to especially intercede for on his behalf. Romans chapter 15 and verse 31. "Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there." This gives more focused prayer that we can have more specificity in our prayer, more specific in our intercessory prayer. As the Apostle Paul had already indicated in verse 30, his was a struggle. Travel was difficult and dangerous in the first century AD. It was a struggle to travel great distances as Paul was, and a struggle to have timely travel during favorable weather. Paul also often was caught in a struggle with unbelieving Jews regarding Jesus as the Son, the unique only begotten Son of God. He also had struggles with unbelieving Gentiles that often wanted to silence him. And worse, regarding unbelieving Jews in Judea and Jerusalem, Paul was taking a generous benevolence love gift of money from the Gentile or Greek churches to help the poor, struggling Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. So Paul faced many struggles. Many Jews in Judea had rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ and were waiting to attack Paul. There was also the struggle between the Gentile and Jewish Christians regarding the supposed requirement to keep dietary and ceremonial Mosaic law as a basis for salvation. Paul was not even sure if the Jewish Christians would accept the donation from Gentile Christians. Today, in the church, we also are so very aware, or should be, of so many people's struggles spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, as missionaries who are often still imprisoned for Christ, in predominantly Muslim countries in particular, and in dictatorial countries like North Korea and Red China, where missionaries and Christians are often in prison because of their belief in Christ and for the gospel. And then we also need to be in much prayer for leaders in high places and for jobs and for travel mercies and a host of other concerns. We should have prayer groups that meet regularly. A church prayer list is useful. And of course, our own personal regular prayer times, both corporately in assembly and personally, as we have intercessory opportunities to strive, to struggle, to wrestle in prayer for others. We would do well to intercede for one another, as Epaphras did, as described in the Colossian letter, chapter 4 and verse 12, that says in part, "He is always wrestling in prayer for you." Meaning here the Colossian church. Epaphras' M.O., which in Latin means modus operandi, means a person's manner of working. So, in intercessory prayer, our M.O. should be always, meaning persistently and consistently, and also our M.O. should be wrestling fervently and ardently in prayer. This type of intercessory prayer is what really moves the heart of God, who is all-powerful, almighty, to answer every prayer according to His will and timing. So Paul includes also God's main principle, rule, regarding any type petitionary prayer for oneself or others. And that's emphasized in Romans chapter 15 and verse 32. So that by, here it is, so that by God's will, I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. No one should think that God will answer a prayer against His will. Our problem is often when we strongly desire a certain intercessory request, that it be granted by God, and if it doesn't turn out as we requested, we are so very deeply disappointed. However, we should always remember that Father knows best. Even if we can't figure it out, even if we cannot fathom how God could not grant our request, We must instead put our faith before our feelings. That's certainly not easy, especially in most serious cases. But if we as believers want any ultimate benefit, often with the passage of time and with reflection, let's consider Romans chapter 15 and verse 33 that says, "The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Accepting the will of our God of peace, having peace of mind, real peace over our feelings and emotions can ultimately only come when we truly trust our Father God, whatever His will is in any and every circumstance." Finally, this illustration. The year was 1942. In the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, an American merchant ship was transporting Sherman tanks across to the war in Europe. A great storm broke out in the hold of the ship. The Sherman tanks, 20 to 30 tons each, broke loose of their tie downs. As the ship would roll, these tanks slid from side to side and would bang up against the bulkhead. They'd roll from side to side, shaking the ship apart. The ship headed into the sea while seamen went below to secure the tanks, the Sherman tanks. The seamen were riding the tanks like cowboys trying to hook cables. Finally, they got all the tanks lashed down, secured. The great danger to the merchant ship and the crew was not from the storm on the outside, but from the great disturbance on the inside. So what's the point? Maturing Christians in our faith, who genuinely trust the Lord, can handle great disturbances from without only when we are battened down from within our faith in God. We know we are secure when we really trust the God of peace and can rest in the peace of God, whatever the answer to our intercessions is by God. Paul eventually did make it to Rome, but according to God's will, not as a free man, but as a prisoner in chains. Paul learned to, whatever the circumstances, trust God and was secure in the God of peace. Likewise, we too can have the God of peace in our hearts, minds, and wills by accepting His will in every intercessory prayer and personal circumstance. May this be the meditation of our hearts.
Out of my sickness into thy hand.
If you are not yet a Christian, please understand that you need to first truly believe in Jesus, God's Son. The Bible teaches that people who believe need to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion. Find a good Bible-believing church to help you with this. If we can answer questions, write to us. To receive a free CD of this program and last week's as well, ask for broadcast number 1842. That's 1842. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. On behalf of Words of Life, this is Wayne Hobbs thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.